the title of my talk is Lessons Learned from a Course Laboratory on Plant Nutrition Utilizing Aeroponically Grown Sweet Potatoes. And I'm the instructor of a course at the University of Hawaii, TPSS 610, which is Mineral Nutrition of Tropical Crops. And so these were the three groups of graduate students who are conducting research. And we have one of them here, Mitchell Liu. He was here somewhere. Mitchell? Ah, there he is in the back. So he was in Team Nitro with Kaipo Dai and Jason Myers. The team that worked on potassium was Chandrappa Gangaya and Adam Kappel. And then a team working on phosphorus toxicity was Nolan Johnson and Samuel Champagne. All right, so this was a hybrid course, and it had an online asynchronous portion that consisted of a journal club and an online discussion. And then the term paper involved their doing a research proposal. It was called a hybrid course because the face-to-face laboratory consisted of the experiment conducted on aeroponically grown Okinawan sweet potatoes. And the laboratory report was done in the format of Hort Science, and they had to do an oral online video format oral report. And Dr. Ted Radovich was the laboratory instructor because I'm located in Hilo, and this class was taking place at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, so a different island. So this laboratory was inspired by a visit to the Sweet Potato Research Center in Chase, Louisiana, and the co-author of this paper, Dr. Arthur Villadon, is seated there in the back, but he was kind enough to show us his aeroponic system when I visited there, and this was after the ASHS conferences was held in New Orleans, so that's an advantage to going to these conferences. You can network and get some interesting collaborations going. So in our class, each group of students was given 12 aeroponic units. And so Team Nitro, of which Kaipo Dai is a member, they decided on 6 nitrogen levels, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 millimolar nitrogen, and 2 blocks. So this is their online video report, and hopefully you can hear it fairly well.
Welcome to the TPSS 610 Nutrient of Tropical Crops, a narrated presentation on sweet potato studies on storage roots and nitrogen gradients. My name is Kaipo.
I'm Jason Myers.
My name is Mitchell.
And we'll be presenting our findings on our research study. Roots and tuber crops such as sweet potato are important for food security in least developed countries. Sweet potato is a crop of immense potential because it yields more edible energy on marginal land than any other food crop. Specific cultivars have been observed at well above 37 tons per hectare without the application of inorganic nitrogen fertilizers. Show me an amendment in 2010. Here we ask if nitrogen controls yield, specifically the optimal rate of nitrogen fertilization that will initiate early storage root development. Further, at what concentration will nitrogen solution suppress storage roots as larger shares of the photosynthates will assimilate to unsalable biomass?
The study was carried out at UH Manoa in the Polk Greenhouse. Temperatures range between 19 and 37 degrees Celsius, with relative humidity between 29 and 80%. The experimental design was strategically placed in a block design with 6 nitrogen treatments, each containing 2 individuals. All treatments were replicated once. 12 135-liter polypropylene containers were used for the experiment. Each container was fitted with 2 neoprene inserts, each securing 1 12-inch Okinawan sweet potato slip. Water and nutrients were circulated via Venturi misters. The misters were powered by air pumps intermittently for 3 minutes on with 5-minute interval breaks. Each unit was insulated with foil and black plastic. 6 liters of modified Johnson solution was made with distilled water. However, to create our nitrogen gradient, potassium nitrate was removed, and potassium needs were replaced by increasing the concentration of potassium phosphate. Calcium nitrate was also removed, and calcium needs were replaced by adding calcium chloride. With no other source of nitrogen, ammonium ammonium nitrate was then used to set the nitrogen gradient from 0 to 5 millimolars, with 3 being the recommended. Nutrients were replaced at 2-week intervals. pH and EC was monitored throughout. 2 plants from each experimental unit were harvested 50 days after planting, weighed, measured for surface area, then composited for nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium analysis. Quadratic regressions were used to analyze and illustrate fresh and dry tissue weight by nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium partitioning. Another regression was constructed to predict root and shoot growth response to our end treatments. Simple bar graphs were then constructed to illustrate biomass distribution by nitrogen gradients and accumulation by plant organs. Finally, we investigated elemental partitioning between leaves and roots as a response to the end gradient. Tissue weight and nutrient distribution as a function of the end gradient was tested with one-way ANOVAs.
Both fresh and dry total plant biomass responded asymptotically, declining at concentrations above 3 millimolar, which is the recommended molarity of nitrogen in the modified Johnson solution method. Through a one-way ANOVA, we found that our treatments significantly impacted plant growth. Interestingly, the leaf surface area follows a similar pattern to total plant biomass, as shown in the figure on the left, while the root surface area responded inversely to the nitrogen gradient, as shown in the figure on the right. Take note to the strong correlation coefficient for each graph. The stacked bar graph on the left displays a clear pattern of mass distribution, while the right divides each mass by relative proportion. Within the confines of this study, increasing N resulted in a greater proportion of above-ground biomass. While uptake of K and P remained relatively constant, uptake of root and leaf N increases proportional to increases in N concentration in solution. Referring back to the leaf surface area graph, we can report that if shoots uptake nitrogen proportional to nitrogen in solution, then root surface area will decline. One important observation that we made was that storage root initiation only occurred at the zero N treatment. In the image, note the root color gradient darkens as the N gradient increases. Most pertinent to this study, observe the presence of anthocyanins only in the zero treatment. These were the only storage root indicators observed.
So with all this said, the following illustration offers a couple of explanations to our rationale that storage root development is suppressed with increasing N in solution. First, while P remains constant, a higher ratio of root potassium to nitrogen only occurs at zero N, both in leaf and shoot. Second, at zero N, root phosphorus is at its highest proportion, as is potassium. Both are correlated with high root and low shoot biomass. Taken together, our study suggests that the standard nitrogen fertilizer management strategies may be unjustified and, in fact, detrimental to growth and production of sweet potatoes. This concludes our presentation. We can now take our questions.
All right, so the second team of graduate students was Chandrappa Gangaya and Adam Kappel, and they decided to do 4 potassium levels, 0, 1.6, 3.2, and 6.4 millimolar potassium, and 3 blocks. So here, basically I took their graphs from their laboratory report, which was written in the format of Hort Science. So you can see here, that as you increase your potassium levels, the sweet potato fresh weight in grams per plant increased in a quadratic manner. And you can see here roots at the control potassium level are kind of sparse, and the roots at the middle potassium level, 3.2, were much greater. You can see here the effect of increasing potassium levels in solution resulted in increasing tissue content in the sweet potato leaf, and it was sort of a quadratic where it sort of increased, leveled off, and decreased slightly. Here's the effect of increasing potassium levels in solution. As you increase potassium in solution, your total leaf area increased linearly. So there was no maximum reached. In the, as you increase potassium concentration for total root length, it sort of increased and decreased in a quadratic manner. So very different responses. All right, so then the third team of graduate students was Nolan Johnson and Samuel Champin. They decided on 4 phosphorus levels, and they were looking at phosphorus toxicity. So they started at 1, which was the level in the nutrient solution, and they increased it from there. So they went from 1, 4.8, 9.7, and 19 millimolar phosphorus, and they had 3 blocks. All right, so this is what it looked like at harvest. So you can see this is 1 millimolar phosphorus, 4.8, 9.7, and 19 millimolar phosphorus. And you can see that there's definitely a decrease in leaf biomass, but roots were much more affected by this phosphorus toxicity. So here, as you increase solution phosphorus, you can see that leaf fresh rate decreased in a linear fashion. But as you increase solution phosphorus for root fresh weight, you had a much faster decrease until basically there was no root biomass at the highest level of phosphorus. And then if you looked at the percent of total fresh weight and as your solution phosphorus increased, you can see that your roots basically decreased in the fraction of total fresh weight until at the highest level there was no root biomass. Whereas in the leaf biomass, even though it decreased in actual fresh weight, the relative proportion of it increased. So the conclusions are that the response of root growth to nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium differed from shoot growth for sweet potatoes, and it sounds like with a similar response in trees, and that ignoring the hidden half of plants, the roots, could result in different conclusions regarding optimal level of nutrients. And so it's very important to study roots. And that's it. I guess I don't have any sponsors to thank because this was basically a class experiment. And so it wasn't sponsored by any particular person. So any questions? Yes? Okay, the question was, what is the advantage of using aeroponics? And the reason is, as I learned from Dr. Arthur Villadon, is that you can actually see storage root formation when you use aeroponics in sweet potato production, but you cannot see it if you use hydroponics. Is that correct, Arthur?
That's pretty much it,
yes. Okay. Any other questions? You could ask one of my students. Mitchell. Okay, well, thank you.